WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. The U.S. announced it will send Ukraine cluster munitions. Ukrainian leaders have been asking for the enhanced weapons to help defend against Russian attacks, but the U.S. has deferred. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the U.S. weighed the risks and concerns they pose to civilians.
There is also a massive risk of civilian harm if Russian troops and tanks roll over Ukrainian positions and take more Ukrainian territory and subjugate more Ukrainian civilians because Ukraine does not have enough artillery. That is intolerable to us.
Ukraine says it will work to clear the cluster bombs where they're used. The white gunman who killed 23 Hispanic shoppers and employees at an El Paso Walmart in 2019 was sentenced to 90 consecutive life sentences today. Patrick Crucius earlier pled guilty to 90 federal charges that included hate crimes. He still faces state trial. New York park officials say they will use drones to help look for sharks off the coast of New York's Long Island. This is ABC News. The investigation is closed in the incident between Britney Spears and security for an NBA star in Las Vegas.
In a Las Vegas police report obtained by ABC News, detectives say not only did they determine that no force or violence was used against Britney Spears, but it was Spears' own hand that hit herself in the face when she touched NBA star Victor Wembanyama. He pushed her hand away, and that led her hand to hit her own face. She says she ran up to him as a fan to say hello. He says he had no idea it was Britney Spears, and he felt somebody grab him from behind. His security reacted, but police say it was actually her own hand that hit her. The case is closed with no charges. Alex Stone, ABC News.
TikTok and five content creators are asking a federal judge to block Montana's statewide ban on the video sharing app while their lawsuit against the state is pending. Montana passed the first-of-its-kind ban over concerns the Chinese-owned app could provide information on U.S. citizens to Beijing. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Governor Tony Evers visited Boys and Girls Clubs across Wisconsin to promote his budget signing. Evers used his veto pen to increase public school funding for the next 402 years, among other measures. Evers said it was important to invest in education for the future of the state. Republican leaders said that the party is considering filing a lawsuit over the budget measure for schools. Republican State Senator Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee that largely wrote the budget, called Evers' tax priorities misguided and warned that the annual increased spending on schools would lead to larger property tax increases. The city of Amory will need to replace two of its leaders after both its police chief and mayor stepped down this week. The city council met Wednesday to approve a search for a new chief of police to replace Steve Heinzel. Heinzel cited intolerable work conditions before retiring. Mayor Chad Leonard resigned yesterday, citing an exhausting political climate. Leonard was elected last year to serve through next spring. City Council President Eric Elkin will be the acting mayor until next spring. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. In roller derby, it's not a game, it's a bout. And each jam is filled with insane drive blocks and rushing soul crushes that rip shivers through your toe stops. Pace line, pivot line, jam a grand slam. Whip a scoring pass, or you're down with rink rash. Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. And every Wisconsin roller derby girl knows to be insanely good on the flat track, you can't be insanely drunk. And if you can't be drunk on those wheels, you'd be super insane to roll drunk on your car's wheels. So take it from Wisconsin's best jammers, blockers, and pivots. When it comes to driving,
drive sober on the road,
no matter how many wheels you roll.
Because you can't lap the pack with an OWI riding your back. So ladies and guys, drive sober or get pulled over. And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Download the free Drive Sober app with a Find a Ride feature, awesome videos, and more at WITrafficSafety.org.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I just
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Test at WarnerStallion.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you. Matt Patrick here today. Greg Bakken's going to be joining us. We got big news here with him starting his brand new weekday show at 10 o'clock at night. A ghost box radio for you every night. That's good stuff. He'll join us here about 4:30 or so to talk about that. How are you today, Patrick?
Good. I'm doing good. One other programming note. Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, we'll be airing an interview with Steve Simon.
Ooh.
Sit down here. If he came in yesterday, we did that with him. That'll be Sunday, 2 o'clock p.m. here on AM 950.
Who talked to him?
Laura and it was in collaboration with Frogtown Community Radio.
Okay. And there you go. All right. Well, nice. I know Steve. He's a nice guy. I'm friends with him. I like him. That's good. Once again, that's on Saturday, you said?
Sunday afternoon, Sunday. 2 p.m.
Sunday, 2 p.m., Steve Simon, Secretary of State of the state of Minnesota, best Secretary of State in the country. He'll be right here on AM 950. Make sure you're listening for that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We have some congratulations to send out, Patrick. Did you get an invite to the wedding of the two Republicans?
I did not.
I did. They must have gotten mine lost in the mail, too. Actually, sounds like it was a small little get together here. Wedding bells for Minnesota Republican state lawmakers who got married on the 4th of July. Marion O'Neill from Maple Lake and Senator Jason Rarick of Pine City announced their marriage on Thursday. The two were married on July 4th in a very small private ceremony in Barron Church. They have been together for 6 years, according to the announcement. We are overwhelmed with gratitude, filled with joy as we reflect on our wedding day, O'Neill said in a statement. I'm presuming that you're off on your honeymoon. All my best out there. We want to thank everyone for your well wishes, kind words, heartfelt congratulations at this exciting time. We're so fortunate to have amazing people in our lives. That's very nice. Because the two represent different areas of the state, they'll keep and maintain residences in their respective districts. And while O'Neill legally changed her name to Marion Rarick, she will run under the name of Marion O'Neill when she seeks another term in 2024 as to not confuse voters. Well, I don't. Yeah, I think people understand marriages. I will say, if I may, the difference between Democrats and Republicans is, you know, I wish them well, all my best. Now, if this was Republicans, I guarantee you, or if this was Democrats, if this was two Democrats that got married and they were in two separate districts, I guarantee you there'd be a Republican operative sitting outside of each of their house counting how many days they stayed at that specific residence. I guarantee it. That's they'd have people sitting in there, just sitting in a lawn chair. Probably someone offering them a free place to sit. They'd sit there and they'd photograph them every time they came, every time they left. They'd keep track of it and make sure that they stayed up on residency requirements there. Now, I am not saying this because I want Democrats to do this. I mean, they're married. They got married. It's a unique situation. I don't think it's necessarily something we have to go out there and kind of kibosh. But at the same time, I'm just pointing out what the Republicans would do here. And also, I would make sure, I would guarantee there'd probably be at least one Republican who would put out a press release if it was two Democrats and they said, well, I'm going to change my name on my legally, but for campaigning, I'm going to go under my traditional name. They would put out a press release saying, how dare the Democrat not take the name of their husband? Oh, how they're trying to trick the voters. I mean, there would. You're would. Now, I'm not saying the Democrats should do that. Of course not. My job here is basically point out the ineptitude and hypocrisy of the right. And I do a pretty damn good job of it. You guys really serve up a buffet with that stuff. I'm just pointing out what you guys would do. In the same sense as I pointed out the last few days when you had, you know, fireworks being abused in Minneapolis. It's, won't somebody gun all those kids down? It was. I mean, that there were people actually making those comments on these right-wing news, you know, streams that were out there talking about arrest them all, gun them all down, guarantee you everyone would be on board. But then a white guy goes out and accidentally burns down half a marina out in Lake Minnetonka And, well, that's just harmless fun that got out of control. Gee, you want to hold, you want to ruin a child's life because of an accident? Come on, Matt. Come on, Matt. Why are we even talking about this? This isn't the same. It's in Minneapolis, it's those kids with fireworks. I mean, this is completely different. It's not one of those kids with a firework out in Lake Minnetonka. See, that's kind of the hypocrisy. I point out the fact that you guys scream, ah, whenever you can about black people in Minneapolis. And then when some of the basically the same exact crime, actually with a far harsher result, happens someplace else where it's white kids involved, it's, oh, come on. Why are you making a big deal out of this? That's what I do. And so I say to them, congratulations. I hope you enjoy your honeymoon. All my best to you. I'm not, does anyone doubt that if this was Democrats, then they had two people in two separate districts, they would have people sitting outside their homes every night counting how many days they stayed there? Of course they would, because that's how the Republicans do things. 952-946-6205. I also have to mention this. This is pretty amazing when you you think about it, because Twitter is in trouble. And I think what initially happened when Elon Musk took this over was this idea that the conservative right, who had been banned for saying lies and racist crap and derogatory things, were going to get banned, that Elon Musk would bring them all back in and then come back and, I guess, limit the amount of communications you have. You know, Johnny Free Speech over there, but not too much of it, mind you. And the idea that he had was to take over Twitter and kind of cripple the abilities of the Democrats to organize and spread the truth and reality while immersing them in this bathtub of hate that is the old style Twitter, which had been cleaned up quite a bit. And that's what he did. And I don't blame people. I've talked about quite a few times about how many times I've noticed the rise and narrative and attacks and stuff. That's what this whole thing is about. It's basically, they feel as if social media is not about social, it's about berating. And even yesterday, I talked about Elon Musk saying, I would rather stay here and be insulted by strangers. And like, you would? You dumb idiot, Elon Musk? You complete and total moron? You complete idiot? You jackass, Elon Musk? You want to be sitting there and be insulted by random strangers? You're a complete fool. And you look ugly. I mean, that's, I guess, you know, that's what he thinks everyone wants. I'd rather have that, because this new one from, and it's from the Facebook guys, it's from Meta, but it comes out of the Meta, you know, Instagram side. Threads is proving to be a very big problem for Twitter. Meta, a new Twitter competitor, Threads, has exploded in growth. This is about less than an hour old. It's from CNBC. Has exploded in growth in its first full day since public debut Wednesday night. Fueled by Instagram's already massive user base, the text-based social media platform already has 70 million signups. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg had relayed that on Friday morning. As of Thursday afternoon, The Verge reported the users are already posted more than 95 million posts and 190 million likes based on the internal company data it had viewed. Meta did not provide updated engagement metrics for Threads, but directed CNBC to Zuckerberg's announcement on the sign-up numbers. The booming growth is helped by the fact that Threads is tied to an existing social network, Meta's Instagram. Users can sign up with their existing handles on Instagram and are able to retain some of their following as others sign up for the app. Meta only needs 1 in 4. Here's why Twitter's in trouble. Meta only needs 1 in 4 Instagram users to use Threads monthly for it to be as big as Twitter. Jasmine Annenberg, principal analyst for Insider Intelligence, said in a statement, Twitter reported nearly 238 million monetizable daily active users in its last quarterly earnings report, but that was last summer. I guarantee you their monthly monetizable daily active users is not 238 million. That's pre-Elon Musk taking over. I'm not saying it's a dramatic drop, but I guarantee you it's probably below 200 million. And if they're going off of that number from last year and they're already saying, well, even with their best number before Elon Musk took it over at 1 in 4 has, they're in big trouble. Twitter's in big trouble. The app still has plenty of room to grow, not having even launched in Europe, where Instagram's chief said there's still some regulatory complexity to navigate. Twitter owner Elon Musk appears to have already shown some concern about Threads, as his longtime lawyer Alex Spiro wrote a letter to Meta accusing the company of unlawful misappropriation of trade secrets. No one in the Threads engineering team is a former Twitter employee, Meta's communication director Andy Stone wrote on Threads in response to the letter. It's just none a thing. So they're basically, so this is a sign that Elon Musk and Twitter are terrified of Threads. Is, and we said this back in October of last year, that if someone can come up with a comparable system that's easy to navigate, like Twitter was, that Twitter is going to be in trouble because no, Elon Musk, you complete and total dingus. You dingleberry, you absolute moron. Hey, this is what you say you like. You like people who you don't know insulting you. I'm just following along, moron. But Elon, we said that if this has happened, Elon's going to be in trouble because people just don't want to be around Elon Musk. And I don't like him. Trust me, I would, you know, it would be a delight to be able to shut down the Twitter account. Because of all the ones I'm on right now, and just let's run the gamut if we can. You can catch me on Twitter at Matt McNeil Show. On Facebook, it's Matt McNeil Show Progressive Citizen X on Facebook. Find me there. On Blue Sky, it is Matt McNeil Show. On Mastodon, it is Matt McNeil Show. And one of their things, just type in Matt McNeil Show. You'll find it there. And on Threads, it's Matthew McNeil 1, which is also under Matt McNeil Show. So you can find me in all these other places. Trust me, being able to shut down one of them would be a hoot. There's no chance in the world I'm jumping on anymore. I'm just not. So those are going to be my five for the time being. But I just don't, I mean, of all the ones that I'm on right now, the one that gives me the least amount of joy in any capacity is Twitter. Because if I post out there, hey, look, it's a great day, I get, I am from America, Ukraine is evil, horrible, bad, not good day. With that one same avatar picture of the old guy sitting there with a cup of coffee. Sure you are there, Igor. That's actually part of the thing that I thought about last night, too. This entire right-wing misinformation campaign is geared towards Twitter because you really can't get away with it anywhere else. Don't get me wrong. You can do like Reddit and stuff like this, but Reddit's not going to ever really replace any of these major social media companies. I'm not saying it's not popular, just it's not there. Discord, where you have misogyny towards any of the female gamers and stuff like that. That's not, you know, that's really geared towards gamers. So you just have a kind of select base there. You know, some of the other sharing services like Spotify and stuff like that, that's not going to really be applicable. So the right needs people to not have any other option outside of Twitter to do what Threads is doing right now, for them to be able to control the message like they do. They have to have that. And this is because they can't. They just don't have the capacity. I mean, right now, they have each of these trolls probably runs 20 or 30 accounts on Twitter. Now you're going to want them to run 20 or 30. First of all, how are you going to even get on Blue Sky? You have to get a code, an access code to get on there. Those are not easy to come by. So Blue Sky is going to remain pretty much, you know, free of the troll. Facebook, they share data and stuff, but it's you know, and I don't get me wrong, I get some trolls on the Facebook comments too. But, you know, that here's one of the great things about Facebook. If you go hit block, it will ask you, do you want to block this just this one account or any account the same individual might create? Boom, gone. never have to hear about them again. I don't have the same guy logging out their current Twitter account, logging into a new one so they can basically say the same thing to me. Mastodon, you know, so far I haven't really run into too many trolls out there. And Threads is going to be run under the same Instagram, Facebook kind of mantra. So you're going to be able to, they're going to shut, I guarantee you, they're not going to allow, you know, Hitler, they want to monetize that. They want to make money off of Threads. So they're not going to be allowing Hitler stuff and racism stuff and misinformation out there. They're going to be stepping that, I imagine they'll step that up and try to keep that clean. Because right now, because Twitter is welcoming all that crap in, they're driving their own customer base. And by the way, that whole stupid thing that they did last weekend where they said you can only look at a certain amount of tweets in a given day. And I actually hit that limit last night. I hit that limit last night because I was going through all the contacts I had on Twitter to try to find who I knew that was on either Blue Sky, Mastodon, or Threads, and I could follow them there. I hit that limit because I was trying to find other places to talk to all the people that I generally talk to. That should tell you everything right there. But no, this is Twitter has been so mismanaged. And the fact that Elon Musk yesterday put out, I think it was actually on Wednesday night, actually put out a tweet that said, wouldn't you rather be here and be insulted by people you don't know as opposed to go someplace where it's puppy dogs and rainbows? And I'm like, no, I would rather go to puppy dogs and rainbows. Because you know what? I don't need some 20-time right-wing loser sitting in his basement talking about how you're part of Antifa. You know, I don't need to have that. Do they really think that that's why I'm on Twitter? Wow. Wow. Still, growth alone won't be able to make Threads an alternative to Twitter that withstands the test of time. The app must also be showing can be keep users engaged and coming back. Well, right now, I can tell you right now, there is a definitive decline in the use of Twitter from the people I know. And there seems to be a massive spike in people using Threads. So, yeah, sure, you're saying this now, but I think that whole line is there just to try to make Elon Musk better. Because I can tell you right now, what would you rather be on? Would you rather be on a social media site where you'd say, hey, it's a nice day, and all of a sudden it's like, Hitler! And you're like, what? Or would you like to be on a social media site and say, hey, it's a nice day, and someone comes back and says, yes, it is. Really not a mystery of the ages, is it? While Twitter is known for being heavily used by journalists, politicians, and academics as a place to where often news often breaks, Meta's Threads could have a much broader audience and focus due to its tie-ins to Instagram, which has different use cases and visual-based platform. Yeah, I know it's tied into Instagram, but the reality is it's very much more like Twitter than it is like Instagram. Instagram, I post on the Instagram account occasionally, but it's much more of a visual thing. And so that's the mutant troll social media page I have is Instagram. I can't really post the daily shows or anything on there. And so it's only when I have an image that I want to show that I really can kind of post something there. So if you're looking for Instagram posts, Instagram probably not there. Once again, Twitter for the time being, Facebook, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and Threads. That's where you can find me. So I'm sorry. Am I enjoying this? Yes, because I can see in 6 months Twitter just basically being a bunch of right wing people going, yeah, doesn't it suck that everyone left and went to Threads? They're all scared. They're all scared of you. That's why they're all scared. They're all scared. It's going to be just a bunch of guys screaming. They're all scared. And Elon Musk is a genius. Well, Elon Musk tries to find someone who will buy what he bought for $44 billion for like $5 billion just to get it off his books. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. And reminder, did I miss this while I was on vacation? Elon Musk and Zuckerberg were going to have a fight, right? And then Elon Musk's mom told him that he couldn't do it, right? God, are you a wussball? You're an idiot, Elon Musk. Seriously, you must want this. This is what you want. You want random strangers to start insulting you. You suck, and no one likes you outside of your money. Have a nice day, Elon. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
There really is no place like home. Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Home Health. When you're faced with an illness or an injury, being able to stay at home and receive care is important. Our home health offers a wide range of services, including skilled nursing, physical, occupational, and speech therapies, AIDS, homemakers, in-home respite care, and 24/7 live-in care. We'll work closely with your primary care provider to come up with an individualized plan for you. Learn more today at MaryTinc.com.
Hi, this is Angela Warner for Warner Stellion Appliance. Do you have a dishwasher that doesn't really clean your dishes so you have to? Or a refrigerator that kind of keeps your milk cold and you've just been waiting for the right time to buy? Well, Warner Stellion has the lowest prices of the season with exclusive savings, including free dishwasher installation on brands like Bosch. And up to 10% off and a bonus for each additional appliance you buy for up to $1,000. See what I mean at WarnerStellion.com.
The place for summer fun is the Park Tavern. Live music is taking over the Park Tavern's dog-friendly patio this summer. Head over on Tuesday, July 11th for Tom Hunter. Wednesday, July 12th, it's the Ice Holes. And on Thursday, July 13th, it's the wonderful Katie Tesman. Music runs from 5:30 to 8 p.m., and reservations for groups of 8 or more are recommended. And the Park Tavern offers private and semi-private spaces for small and large groups with no room fees and no minimum spending requirements. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, get your summer groove on at the Park Tavern.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. We're heading into July and the heart of summer. The backyard barbecues over Independence Day will bring a lot of family and friends over to the house, and your kids will spend a lot of time outdoors on the sports fields and in the backyard. But that also means your guests are going to be spilling the potato salad, and your kids are going to be tracking in who knows what from their outdoor explorations or off the sports fields. July is National Carpet Cleaning Month, and because of that, check out this amazing deal Zero Res has going. Zero Res is offering 3 rooms starting at just $129 and get a 4th room free. It's also the perfect time of year to get your air ducts cleaned this month and take 20% off any air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM 950 special. Again, don't wait. Book your appointment today. Backward or forward smells the same. Zero Res.
Kathy actually makes a very good point. Twitter is cruel. Twitter is cruel. I would agree wholeheartedly. I think that's an excellent way to say it. I mean, Twitter is cruel. Twitter is people who think that they should be able to kick open the door of your house, go to the bathroom in the middle of the floor of your living room, point to it with a smile on their face and say, you have to like it. And no, most people don't. But is it a surprise that Republicans love Elon Musk and what Twitter has become? Not at all. Not in the least bit. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So I want to talk about a few different police officer stories coming up here the rest of this hour. First of all, from the Reformer, the city of Minneapolis has separated with Tyler Timberlake, a police officer who repeatedly used a stun gun on a disoriented, unarmed black man in Virginia just days after the Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd. City spokesperson Casper Hill confirmed a Star Tribune report that Timberlake's last day was on Wednesday, but said the reason he separated from the city doesn't have to be disclosed according to state open records laws. Timberlake made headlines on the East Coast because of parallels to Floyd's killing evident in body camera footage. Fairfax County police were called to a residential area because a man was wandering around in the street shouting that he needed oxygen. A paramedic and police officer first arrived to find LaMonta Gladney pacing and rambling incoherently. Body cam footage shows as they try to coax Gladney into an ambulance. Timberlake arrives, strode up to the man, and used a stun gun on him, causing Gladney to fall on his back. So I want to make sure we understand. Well, first of all, I think we can all understand. How the hell was this guy hired by the Minneapolis police? And before anyone, and I made a post today that I said, I'm impressed with Chief O'Hara. I actually am. I see a guy who's trying to fix this police department. He's trying to pull it up from the depths that it's in. And I'm not going to say he's not going to make some mistakes and things that's going to be easy. But, you know, I see a guy that's working hard. There have been a lot of people that have been very quick to criticize him in this case because he's like, you know, he shouldn't have hired him. Well, he's the chief of police. I'm going to guess he's not the final interviewer. That's an HR issue. And that they might send him a notice saying we're going to hire this person. You know, yeah, it might be the case. And maybe he didn't know about this, but at the same time, how much time did he spend on it? How was it presented to him? I'm not sure. It sounds like the minute he found out about what exactly happened here, he was like, okay, this guy needs to go. And that's the kind of leadership I'm kind of hoping we have. So, yeah, we can sit and maybe be a little critical of how did this guy even get hired in the first place. But at the same time, I do want to come on back. And in defense of O'Hara, it's like we don't know how he was necessarily presented to him. But needless to say, when basically public sentiment found out about this, he did the right thing. And as opposed to how things have gone in the past, where a cop who's beating the crap out of the local citizens is given the badge of frickin' honor and allowed to do it 16, 17, 18 more times before finally, before they're held accountable, is quickly able to retire and claim, I've got PTSD, and run out with a massive check from the city of Minneapolis. Because that's what used to happen. This guy being gone as of Wednesday, that's a good thing. I'll talk more about this when we do a comeback. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. More on what happened in Fairfax. And then I'm going to point out a very ugly element of what's going on in Minneapolis because, let's face it, there are a lot of... There's someone in that police department that's working really hard against the police department. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
I'm Candy Brothel.
I'm Elizabeth Sullivan.
And I'm Kelly Wagner.
Energize yourself with AM 950's Sunday Shine Radio from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Sunday Shine Radio radiates wellness, consciousness, and curiosity.
Join me, Candy Brothel, for Green Tea Conversations at 10 a.m.
Exploring Sovereignty with Elizabeth at 11 a.m.
And the Being Curious Show at noon.
Our lineup focuses on igniting your own self-discovery and personal wellness.
Tune in every Sunday for Sunday Shine Radio from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And let us guide you on an inspirational journey each week.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM 950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM 950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies today with a high near 79. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 58. And Saturday, sunny with a high near 77. Eat Local Minnesota is a great way to find locally owned Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors. They feature high-quality food and unique eating experiences for your next meal. Some of those dining options include Crooner Supper Club, The Great Wall Restaurant, and Nightingale. Find a full list of all those restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Say you miss me.
950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. Let me get back to Timberlake, his full actions here, because I didn't really finish it out. So, once again, there's this Lamonte Gladney is pacing, rambling incoherently. A police officer and a paramedic are trying to coax him into an ambulance. Timberlake arrives, stuns him on sight, and Gladney falls on his back. Timberlake then jammed his knee into Gladney's neck and back, held the stun gun on his back, hit him in the head with the stun gun, and stunned him again on the back of his neck as Gladney shouted for help. As, dude, this man sounds like he is just, this is disturbing. Gladney repeatedly said, "I can't breathe, DD." The officers rolled him onto his side. Gladney was taken to hospital, treated, released. Investigators later found cocaine and PCP in his system. Once again, even if he did, that doesn't authorize officers to basically start torturing him in the middle of the street. Now, I'm going to get back to that because the Republican policy is that, yeah, doesn't matter the body count. Doesn't matter how many Native Americans or blacks are gunned down or killed in Minneapolis. That's what they deserved, and they will always stand by the police. And that's why this whole thing being a story as some sort of outrage as the right side, how dare you? Dude, this guy should have never been hired in the first place, and I appreciate O'Hara getting him out of there as quickly as he could. A day after the incident, the Fairfax County Police Chief, Edwin Rosslier Jr., called Timberlake's actions horrible, unacceptable, criminal, and a violation of department policies. According to the Washington Post, Timberlake was relieved of duty and charged with three counts of misdemeanor assault and battery. Nearly 2 years later, he was acquitted by a Fairfax County jury. Timberlake testified that he thought Gladney was another man wanted for violent crimes. Oh, okay, so you can just start. Once again, he shows up, doesn't say a damn thing, blasts the guy with the stun gun, jumps on his back, hits him in the head with the stun gun, and hits him again. That's not police work. That's mob rule. And I can understand why the police union thought this guy was, we got to get this guy on board, man. Because as clearly by the DOJ report coming down, the most vicious gang in Minneapolis was the Minneapolis PD. And yeah, this is unacceptable. And once again, commend the Fairfax County Police Chief, who basically immediately said, "You're gone. You're gone." Gladney, by the way, did not testify during Timberlake's trial, but sued Timberlake in the county and settled the case for $150,000, according to the Post. And it's another guy that can, it's ready to cost taxpayers tons of cash, huh? After the reformer first reported on Timberlake's hiring by the Minneapolis Police Department in April, Police Chief Brian O'Hara ordered a full investigation into MPD's background checks and hiring process and said Timberlake, who applied in August and started January 9th, but was still training, wouldn't be deployed until it was over. Community activists called on the chief to fire Timberlake. Personal documents later obtained by the reformer show O'Hara, who was hired to reform the police department, signed a letter offering Timberlake a job as a police officer. Key portions of the personnel document were redacted by city attorneys, such as Timberlake's answer to questions on the application about whether he'd been suspended or terminated from a job in the past decade and whether he'd been charged or convicted of crimes. His reason for leaving Virginia was also redacted from his Minneapolis PD application. So once again, they're saying that he signed this notice, but they're not saying whether or not Timberlake was honest about what he had done. Asked why O'Hara launched an investigation, even though he personally signed on the hire, the police chief released a statement saying Timberlake was presented to him as a highly recommended for hire after multiple layers of review. Once again, it's not Mayberry. I'm even surprised that the chief actually has anything to do with the hirings. I would presume this was an HR thing, but needless to say, I'm presuming he doesn't sit there and start doing background checks himself on any officers that are applying. He went on to say, "I have to be able to trust the officer that has been screened and meets my standards for the department." O'Hara said he planned to make substantial process changes to ensure every potential hire presented to him for sign-off is adequately vetted, allowing me to trust that they meet my standard of officers in this department. An MPD spokesman said Thursday the review of the hiring process is still underway. A network of crime-focused social media accounts, a.k.a. right-wing narrative accounts, call call the Crime Watch Minneapolis on Thursday said it obtained internal city emails which indicate Mayor Jacob Frey and O'Hara were aware of Timberlake's background. Among the screenshots of emails Crime Watch Minneapolis posted on Twitter, a May 15th letter Timberlake wrote to Frey, Community Safety Commissioner Cedric Alexander, City Attorney Kristen Anderson, and Human Resources official accusing O'Hara of defaming him by falsely claiming they didn't know about Timberlake's past. Timberlake claimed O'Hara interviewed him and was fully aware what happened to Virginia. Now, once again, this is convenient because it makes it seem like what has gone on here is that they knew and they were writing about it. But why don't you listen to this again? The letter Timberlake wrote. And so once again, we have the documents that O'Hara signed, but they've been redacted. So we don't necessarily see what Timberlake's responses were. If you do want to release that, sign the forms. Let's get that out there and find out what exactly he told Minneapolis police chief, the police chief and the department about what happened in Fairfax County, Virginia. This letter, which they supposedly put out there as proof, is from Timberlake himself, basically stating that O'Hara is defaming him by falsely claiming he didn't know about Timberlake's past. Timberlake claimed O'Hara interviewed him and was fully aware of what happened in Virginia. Did he? Because you could present this. Well, I had to separate from the apartment because there were some questions about authority and stuff like this. I don't know exactly what Timberlake. This is Timberlake saying he said it. O'Hara saying he wasn't aware of the depth of this. Timberlake wrote, "I've been nothing but candid, honest, and self-aware during my work to earn a place with the MPD to contribute a career I love," he wrote. In a screenshot posted by Crime Watch Minneapolis, Timberlake could not be reached for comment. Asked about allegations that the chief knew about Timberlake's Virginia incident, MPD spokesman said, "Chief, the chief has no further comment. In recent months, the reformer made several records requests in an effort to obtain documents, including emails that would show whether O'Hara was aware of Timberlake's past, but was rebuffed by city officials who said the information was private personnel data under the law." A prosecutor told the presiding judge in Timberlake's criminal case that when Timberlake was arrested, he was already in the process of moving to Minneapolis, according to WTOP. Lieutenant John Crone of Fairfax Police Department told Reformer in April that Timberlake returned to the Virginia Department after being acquitted, but left of his own accord. Timberlake's MPD application indicates he hired by the Fairfax Police Department in late 2015, had been working as a recruiter and instructor in the department 2 months after he was acquitted. So, there are two. The first thing I want to say is this. As people and the reformers kind of saying, what's going on here? Is there something nefarious? The fact that this guy is gone is a shockingly refreshing change of how things have gone in the past. I want to repeat that. The fact that Timberlake is no longer part of the Minneapolis Police Department is a refreshing change, a comparatively lightning fast return on accountability compared to what they were at. Once again, if you go back and look at the DOJ report on the Minneapolis Police Department, one of the major concerns they had was the longevity of it was taking to hold any officer accountable for their, in many cases, clearly criminal actions. Now, I'm not sure how Minneapolis, Crime Watch Minneapolis got the Timberlake document. I would going to guess maybe he handed it over himself. The union apparently is pretty livid about this as well. But you know what? I'm kind of, like I said, at the end of the day, this guy is not hired. And can I ask all the people who are upset, are you saying this guy should have been hired? Okay, so is the point here that O'Hara somehow dropped the ball? And once again, we don't have any evidence per se of the extent of knowledge of O'Hara's, the extent of O'Hara's knowledge in regards to what happened with Timberlake in Fairfax, Virginia. He might have been very well aware that there was a case that he was acquitted, and that might be the case. That might be the extent of it. Because once again, even though there are personnel records, and he was still working for the police department out there after he was acquitted. Once again. So could we say, to make an argument, that someone didn't drop the ball per se and didn't go back and just do a basic, you know, news search and see the video cam footage? Yeah, but would they have done that anyway if he came in there saying, I was accused of a crime, I was acquitted, though, I was still working for the Fairfax police, I'm coming over here? All right. I mean, that's the East Coast. It's not Minnesota. And that's one of the things that the reformer kind of points out very clearly, is that this was a bigger story on the East Coast than it was here. And frankly, it wasn't a big story here because we were in the aftermath of George Floyd. And, you know, it was there's a few other headlines going on at the time. My gut feeling is that this narrative is being driven. It seems to be coming from two separate sides. On one side, especially in the wake of the DOJ report on the Minneapolis Police Department, which was scathing, and I'll repost. I have up on Progressive Citizen X blog, I've got a post there that basically lists off, you know, 40 of the more heinous excerpts of that DOJ report. I highly recommend you read the whole thing. I did. I pulled down a whole bunch there. There's some adult language in there, but the reality is it's atrocious what that department had. I'll come back to that a little bit later with a different story. But the reality is that when you look at what had happened there, I can see the fact that you know, that we don't know exactly what Timberlake said on his application. We don't know what the, you know, independent conversations were. And Timberlake could say, well, I told him that there was this problem, but did you tell him the extent of the issue? Did you tell him about the $150,000 payout because of your actions that the Fairfax County people had to pay out because of your wrongful aggressiveness? Did you tell about that? Did you talk about these other things? So you got this one side where it's clear there is an element where it's the police is there are elements of the police department which are terrified of reform because they know it's coming and they're going to be held accountable and they're going to have to change some things. And O'Hara seems to be trying to get ahead of the curve on this. And so they're pushing back against O'Hara. I don't hear anyone saying he should have been hired. It's more about of how did he get hired, but if anyone thinks this is necessarily a smoking gun on O'Hara, I'm not sure if that's the case. That being said, there's also another element here that's going on, which is the right wing is desperately trying to reignite the, we need to club every Minneapolis resident in the head six times because that's good police work mentality of rational argument towards the policing of Minneapolis. That is kind of one of those things they're pushing out there right now. There is a real narrative emerging from the right now that just lock them all up in regards to black kids in Minneapolis, just lock them all up. Or there have even been a few right-wing people who have suggested that the police should just stop asking questions first and start gunning people down. That doesn't seem to be individuals who have understood anything about what America is supposed to be. And freedom. That seems to be more racist who are trying to hope that the police department returns to its, you know, more racist friendly past and basically doing their bidding for them. That's at least the impression I've gotten from those idiots that are putting stuff out there. That being said, I don't quite get why they're so, especially after the DOJ, and I think part of that's the DOJ, is that, no, they've banked so much. I've said part of the reason why the Minneapolis Police Department is so out of line and so having problem is that the Republican Party has used them as a political weapon, and they have basically enabled them to do whatever they want with zero accountability, as long as when it comes to campaign time, the Minneapolis Police Department officers are out in rural Minnesota that have nothing to do with Minneapolis talking about, you keep electing this Republican here, he'll help me crack skulls in Minneapolis. We'll be tough on crime, sort of thing. And that is the Republicans seem to want to desperately try to get that back. It hurts them politically to not have a belligerently violent police department who's attacking what they want to be considered the perceived enemies of the Republicans in rural Minnesota. That the black population, the minority population, the Native American population, they don't want this to change. You notice no Republicans have really commented on the DOJ report, but they have been out there saying, we need to give them more leeway. Yeah, arrest all those kids. Well, what about the kids out in Wayzata? You mean the harmless prank that got a little out of control? Come on, Matt. Let's not ruin someone's life. Yeah, I see you guys. But this is, I mean, there is this element. And I'll go back to, you know, something I said when Rebecca Brandon, who the conservative news reporter who reports on Minneapolis, you know, she was let into the county impound lot by someone within the force to basically do the hit piece on Hutch. We're seeing the rise of a definitive element within the Minneapolis Police Department to basically stop any reform in its tracks because, let's face it, they don't have any accountability. There's not been any. Sure, a DOJ report's there, but they want things to continue the way they are. And if they ever get so bad to where they're finally about to get prosecuted or fired, well, then they can quickly retire, claim PTSD, and run off to some other place and run away. That's the system they want to keep in place. You know, I don't think it's the best look for O'Hara here, because I'm going to guarantee he knew something about this, but if he was listening to people saying he was vetted and they said he was okay, well, now, like I said, I think at the end of the day, the fact that Timberlake is no longer part of this police department, I think that's a really good sign. I think that's a really good sign. And I still kind of stand by. I think O'Hara's got, I can't imagine how difficult this job's going to be, but right now, you know, O'Hara seems like the best option we've got. At least he's trying to get any kind of semblance of protect and serve back in the Minneapolis PD. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
It's an absolute must for any true foodie. Vinaigrette at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis offers premium oils and vinegars for the most discriminating of tastes. This is Sarah Piepenberg, owner of Vinaigrette. We bottle on-site, there's no guesswork, and you get to taste test each and every oil and vinegar we offer. Our direct relationship with the growers ensures an uncompromised level of satisfaction. When you need to know you're cooking with the finest ingredients, first contact the independently owned Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Don't drive too fast or you will miss Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue. Scott Jamama's offers huge taste out of a little place. Located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road near the intersection of Nicolette Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, this tiny hole in the wall offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Don't forget to add the potato salad, spicy baked beans, twice-baked potatoes, and delicious desserts. Find their hours and full menu at scottjamamas.com.
Hi, this is Laura. AM 950, in collaboration with Frogtown Community Radio, will air a special sit-down with Secretary of State Steve Simon on July 9th at 2 p.m. We'll learn about recent changes to Minnesota's election law. Changes include restoration of voting rights to people with felony convictions who are no longer incarcerated, pre-registration of 16 and 17-year-olds, the permanent absentee ballot list, and automatic voter registration. Learn more. Sit down with Secretary of State Steve Simon on July 9th at 2 p.m.
You hear a lot about Rudy Luther Toyota's hybrid cars, but maybe you're asking yourself, are they worth it? Let me say from experience, absolutely. I have a Toyota Sienna hybrid, and the proof is in the gas tank. Before my hybrid, I was filling up my tank once a week. Now it's consistently every 2 weeks. I did the math, and my hybrid is saving me over $1,000 every year. And the Toyota hybrids are some of the most stylish and comfortable vehicles you'll ever drive. Now's the time to get a Toyota hybrid. Set up a time to test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Speaking of the DOJ report, the Minneapolis City Attorney's Office is criticizing how the Department of Justice arrived at one of its key findings in 2-year investigation in the Minneapolis Police Department. The DOJ's conclusion that MPD officers regularly retaliated against people for using their First Amendment rights is challenged in a memo in federal court. This is lawyers in the city argue that DOJ's report should not be allowed as evidence in a class action lawsuit filed on behalf of Jared Goyette and other journalists who said they were attacked by law enforcement during the coverage of protests after the killing of George Floyd. Now, I want to make sure we understand something. We talked about this. I don't go back and listen to the shows. We still have them online. We talked about in the days of the uprising that happened after George Floyd's murder, that it sure seemed like the police department was repeatedly targeting journalists, And that's on top of other cases where Minneapolis Police Department seems to have targeted journalists in the past. So I'm not sure what about regularly they're upset about, but if are they trying to say, well, you need to include all the cases that happened in the uprising of George Floyd as one case? I don't know if that's really the case. Maybe, just maybe, one time should be bad enough, and maybe, just maybe, you should train the police officers that, you know, you can't just abuse the press. Also, I should mention this. Newly released video from the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension shows a member of the Minnesota National Guard opening fire on a civilian driver out past curfew in the waning days of the unrest following George Floyd's murder. The guardsman who shot at the car said he feared for his life and was following orders from an Anoka County sergeant. Now, body-worn camera and internal reports reviewed show apparent confusion among sheriff's deputies about hearing the live rounds. In the review of the shooting, the National Guard, which found the service member, acted in accordance with the rules of on-use of force. The Hennepin County Attorney's Office reviewed the file, declined to charge the service member. The driver of the car, Joshua Cochran, was not shot, but he was injured by the less-than-lethal rounds being used by deputies. Cochran and the car's owner, Fred Shattuck, settled the lawsuit last year at the Minnesota National Guard for $125,000. It sounds like the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. The BCA's report found that Cochran was driving. He did not respond to commands to stop and turn around, and Anoka County Sergeant Josh Hatton told law enforcement to hit it. And the exact quote, that's in quotes, hit it. Anoka County deputies fired less lethal ammunition in the car before the National Guard member fired live rounds from his M4 carbine rifle. You told me to shoot. He told me to shoot. He said, shoot, the unified guard member said. It was less lethal, dude, Anoka County deputy responded. Well, no, you told him hit it. You told him, I stand with the National Guard guy here. You told him to open fire. Just because you don't take into account that there's some people that didn't have less lethal than lethal rounds on the guy, that's not his fault. He was following an order. BCA investigators found Hatton was indeed the one who gave the command to hit it, but he denied ordering anyone to shoot at the vehicle. The inserting military personnel into a civilian disturbance that is rapidly evolving is complex, with further training for those thrust into that role during the emergency being merited, said Anoka County Sheriff's Office in the statement. We do not want law enforcement command language that is unique to our responsibilities to confuse with UNS tasked with maintaining order. Maybe you should have a review class. Okay, can I make this point? There was a lot of people who were saying, bring in the National Guard, bring in the troops. Why don't we bring in the troops? And here you have a case where there's a difference between a soldier and a police officer. At least there's supposed to be. Someone needs to tell a lot of people in the city of Minneapolis that. There's supposed to be a difference here. And if you told them to hit it, quote unquote, hit it, well, guess what? He's going to take that as time to open fire. And unless you've given him a non-lethal round, he's going to open fire with what he's got. And just because you didn't mean that to happen doesn't mean he did anything wrong. And no, you shouldn't, unless he was aiming for officers, I don't think you use lethal rounds on some guy like that. Hour two, it's up next.
Hi, I'm Kelly Kirk.
I'm Chad Larson.
And I'm Joe Kirk.
Your hosts for Searching for Service. Tune into Rotary's influential show and podcast, sharing touching stories of service locally and abroad.
We bring you weekly guests that connect, inform, and inspire our listeners on all things service.
We highlight diverse service opportunities that appeal to both Rotarians and people driven to serve in their communities.
Tune in Sundays at 3 p.m. or anytime via podcast. It's time
to stop searching
and start serving.
Hi, this is Angela Warner for Warner Selling Appliance. Do you have a dishwasher that doesn't
really clean your dishes so you have to, or a refrigerator that kind of keeps your milk cold and you've just been waiting for the right time to buy? Well, Warner Stellion has the lowest prices of the season with exclusive savings, including free dishwasher installation on brands like Bosch and up to 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Reno.